a siphonophore. Firstly, can you tell us what these creatures actually are, how we would describe these creatures?
Well, they're colonial organisms that are related to jellyfish. So the more familiar siphonophore would be bluebottles. So they're like a very long, stringy bluebottle with tiny little organisms along the string.
Yeah, so as a colonial...
mostly oceanic.
A colonial organism, it's basically a colony of animals that all come together almost to work as one.
Yeah, they do. Well, siphonophores are pretty an extreme example of this. They're individual animals are called zooids, and there's thousands of them, and just all joined along this string, as you said. And each one has got a different role. So the ones at the front end tend to be the gas. They have the gas for floating. And as then you've got the string along the, have got individuals with tentacles. And so they're the ones that are capturing little creatures in the water. And then the goodies are spread from the eating, and the food is shared amongst the colony.
Now, if we talk about this specific example that's recently been discovered, what's so special about it that it's made breaking news? I mean, we see a lot of unusual animals coming out of our marine deeps, but 150 foot, I mean, that does sound pretty impressive.
Well, it's certainly the longest one intact. There's lots of other sea creatures that are equally big, and, you know, whales. But this is one of the largest and longest, we should say, of these planktonic animals. And what I think must be the case is that it has been in calm seas, because I go diving and I've seen these, and they do break up with the winds and the waves. So the very fact that you've got this floating in the water and staying intact, it must have just meant that it's been in very calm water for a very long time.
Does finding such a large specimen, a large example intact, sort of give us more of an indication around the life, the biodiversity of these creatures?
These are well known, but they're often in deeper water and they're often way offshore. So they're often not like the Schmidt group would have been, you know, a big expedition. So yes, the answer is yes. Getting out and looking and finding these creatures gives us a big insight into biodiversity. But this particular one has been seen before, but not as long.
Well, looking at how some of these expeditions are taking place, has the use of artificial intelligence and more robotic, robotic sort of searches improved the way in which we make these discoveries and how efficiently we can make these kinds of discoveries?
Well, certainly robotics and underwater submersibles that are unmanned, or even the ones that are manned, can get footage and images from places where we can't go scuba diving. So absolutely, having the advanced technology with respect to ocean exploration has enhanced our understanding of the ocean enormously, because we can go now to places where we couldn't go in the past.
It's almost, you know, the real, true, great unknown. Some have said that, you know, we know more about the makeup of space than we do about the bottom of our own oceans. I mean, do these kind of developments in recent years excite you as somebody who is in this field and would obviously intrigued by this kind of life?
Absolutely. Well, I get pictures all the time of some of these underwater explorations, and I just say, wow, that's amazing. And some of them are creatures that I know, and some of them are creatures that that's new. But then how do you get a specimen that's, you know, at 600 meters or whatever? There's a lot of unknown, and actually being able to get the organisms, to bring them back, study them, and obviously we can't study them in their real world like you can look at an urchin on a rock platform and study it in its natural habitat. So there's a lot of unknowns about those creatures, and the more that we can explore and see what's on in the sea floor, it's important, especially important now because there's been a real push to deep sea exploration and mining, because that's the last frontier for some minerals and resources that are in big demand. And it's in international waters, and people don't necessarily know what's going on, and the law around is a bit flexible, if you will. And so I think what's really important now is that the more footage we see from these deep sea areas, we see how much we have underwater, and we need to be very aware of this before, and you know, deep sea mining, because some of these creatures could disappear without even knowing that they existed.
And in terms of public fascination, public response, just how important is that in making sure there are more research projects into this area?
It's quite good. There was a good expedition from Australia, and it was deep sea off of Eastern Australia, and it was it was piped into schools, and there was quite a lot of PR around it, and that was maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, can't remember. But it's absolutely essential that to get those images, to get the excitement, because a ship that, you know, 5 kilometers off the shore, those scientists aren't necessarily communicating with even university students in a normal basis. So I think with technology, being able to get the internet to pipe the exploration and what's being found in real time will be really important. And that's where the excitement is. You know, we've just like landing your foot on the moon. That was very exciting for the world to see. Similarly, seeing something new and exciting from 300 meters or more is very exciting, but it needs to be conveyed somehow. And that is where the new technologies are really helpful in communicating that science and the excitement behind it.
Well, Maria, I do appreciate you joining us this morning and having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
My pleasure. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.